of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judah, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time for the baby to be born came. She gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them.
I'm just going to pray for David as he comes to speak to us. This is my husband. I'd pray for him anyway. Lord Jesus, I thank you so much for the words that you've been putting in David's heart for a long time now, and pray that our hearts would be really receptive to hearing the fantastic good news. Bless David, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Good morning.
Morning.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
It's great to see everybody. Now, who's I'd say it wasn't my decision that we should open presents after the service. Yeah. Actually it was. I lied. Has anybody opened a present this morning? Let's find out. I want this microphone on here. That'd be good. What did you open? I got to turn this on. I heard that. Did you hear that? Say that again.
I got a Sylvanian family mansion.
A Sylvanian family mansion. Not just a Sylvanian family, but a Sylvanian family mansion. That is awesome. You didn't bring it. You should have brought it. That would have been fun. We could have played with it all through the service. One over here. Hi. Oh, this is looking impressive.
I got some Barbies. And the dog is pregnant.
Oh, my goodness. Is this the toy dog as opposed to the real one? Just get that right. That's
it gives
good.
Birth.
Three
puppies.
You've got to see it. Oh, yeah. It's magic.
Amazing. That's awesome. I think, Miriam, you get the award for the best Christmas outfit. Yeah, that's really good. Who else has got... Okay, here we go.
Guitar picks.
Have you brought them with you? Yeah. Are you going to demonstrate? No, because you haven't got a guitar. Awesome. Excellent. So are you going to be playing today?
No.
You're not. You're just going to be looking at those guitar picks. Broke a string. Okay, who else has opened something today? Coming over. Just wanted to make me walk all this way, didn't you? That's it.
A multi-tool.
Awesome. Awesome. Have you got it with you?
No.
Oh. And you got, what have you got?
Transformer.
A transformer. Lift it up so everybody can see. Come and stand on here and don't do what Isaac did, fall off. Look at that. Oh, awesome. Awesome. Any grown-ups? Open something. You're not going to own up to it. Have you opened something?
No.
You haven't opened something. Ah, you have. Go on then.
Ah,
look at this. I'm going to hold this up.
Look at that.
That's really awesome. Thanks. That's good. Okay, Christmas. Lots of... Phillip's opened something. Did I hear? Phillip's got the guitar string.
What have I opened?
Lots of peaks.
Oh, yeah. I got 4 potato peelers.
Oh. Oh. That's pretty good. Okay, that's good. So that's to do with presents. That's quite good. Who's going to be watching a movie? You're going to watch The King's Speech. That'll be the first one for a long time, The King's Speech. That'll be a real change. Who watches Christmas movies? And what's your favorite Christmas movie? I'm coming here.
Elf.
Which?
Elf.
Elf. Yes. Elf is one. Yep. Is that yours?
Polar Express, but it's not what we're going to be watching.
Polar Express. Yeah, let's hear some more.
Four holidays,
okay. Anybody on Home Alone? Who's on Die Hard? Yeah. Okay, if somebody could explain to me what Die Hard has to do with Christmas, it'll be quite sort of... I've just been... All my family have been saying, when are you watching Die Hard? It's like... I think I've watched it once somewhere, but I might have to watch it again. Die Hard. So are you watching Die Hard, Alistair?
Love Actually.
Love Actually, that's another one. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, any others? Home Alone? Christmas Muppet Christmas Carol. Who's a favourite of Muppet Christmas Carol? Come on, let's see people who own up. Yeah, that's it. Well, I think we're going to be watching all the episodes of the BBC version of Pride and Prejudice today, back to back. It's a girly day today. I enjoy it, actually. It's really good. So that's great. Yeah. Stories. We love stories, don't we? We all love stories. That's why Christmas is great when we get together and we can be watching and listening to stories. And we are in the middle of a story right now. And we might not know it, or we might not acknowledge it. In fact, there are two overriding stories that dominate everything in the world. And it's not Die Hard or Home Alone or whatever. The two overriding stories are these. There's one that dominates the world, and it's illustrated by Jesus when he told a story of the parable of the tenants in the vineyard. The owner of the vineyard sets up this vineyard. It's a beautiful vineyard. Vineyards are places where you grow grapes, and of course you can make wine from it and so on. It's a beautiful vineyard. And the owner sends messengers to come to the tenants, who are the ones who are working in the vineyard, to find out how fruitful the vineyard is being. But the tenants decide in their story that they don't need the owner to run the vineyard, they're going to run it themselves. Jesus tells this story. And they reject the messengers, and they beat them up. And then eventually the owner of the vineyard says, I'm going to have to send my son. So the owner sends the son, and the tenants decide that this is the moment when they're just going to demonstrate that they're in charge. So they kill the son. Jesus tells this story. And of course, in the time when Jesus tells the story, everybody's thinking this is about Israel. And of course, there is a story in Isaiah about God looking for fruit in his vineyard. So that's quite a natural thing. But actually, it is the story of the world. God makes the universe, creates the universe, and in love wants a really good friendship with you and me, with all of us. And his plan is to draw us all together so that we can be united and a great community. But actually, we've chosen in the story of the world, to ignore God. And we think we can do it on our own. That's what this parable is telling us. That's the overriding story of the world. But there is another story that comes through that is actually sometimes more secret and moves its way and weaves its way through. And it starts, again, with God creating the universe, and the Apostle Paul says this, he wants to draw all things together under one head, which is Christ. God wants to be friends with you and me. And that story is weaving its way through. And as we've been saying here in All Saints over the last few months, it's like a play with five acts. And the first act is that God makes the universe, and we screw it up. We reject it. The second act is that God builds a community of people, the people of Israel. It starts with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and then goes on with Moses and the people of Israel, setting them free from Egypt and then sending the prophets and so on. That's act two, where that happens. But during that act, he's saying there's somebody special is going to come. The Messiah, which is the special one sent from God, is going to come. And act three starts today. Act three is the amazing part of this play when God breaks into the world and walks into the room. It's like coming in now. That's why the Apostle John tries to express it. He says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That is, God becomes a human being and lives among us, walks among us, is born into our world and begins to show us what God is like. That's why John says, no one has ever seen God, but God the Son, he has made the Father known. Here we are. This is this moment where we're celebrating. And this is the moment where the two stories intersect or meet. The story of the world that says we don't want God, and the story of God coming in to meet with us. They intersect at this point, at Christmas. That's it. It's the story of Caesar Augustus and Herod, who are saying, you want to get with the real world? We're in charge. You do what we say. We're going to run the place. And the story that is told to Mary and Joseph and the shepherds. And when it comes to, and we see that story, those two stories cannot meet. They don't merge. You can't say, oh, we'll have both. You have to choose. Christmas is a place of choosing. And what happens is this. Caesar and Herod say, we don't want to know. And we see that quite violently with Herod, who tries to get rid of all the boys in Bethlehem after he's heard that Jesus is born. That's the reaction of Caesar and Herod. It results in violence. But the story for Mary and Joseph and the shepherds is incredibly intimate. You can't get any more intimate than an angel announcing that you're going to have a baby in your womb. And it requires Mary to choose. It requires her to say yes. And when that happens, the whole world changes for Mary. But it also, for Joseph, is the same, isn't it? For Joseph, Mary's going to tell Joseph that she's expecting a baby. And you can imagine what Joseph must have thought. And then it's all turmoil. But the angel comes to Joseph and says, this is this story, Joseph. You're going to have to trust this story as you go forward. You need to choose to trust this story. And that's what Joseph chooses to do. And it's a risky story. It's risky because it's a risk on their reputation. It's a risk on their life. And it's a risk on the life of their child. Just think, the God, the creator of the universe, chooses to come down into the world and put himself at the mercy of an inexperienced mother who actually has to take the child and lay the child in a feeding trough so that the child will not be trodden on by the animals. That is God into the world for you and for I. It's a story that we must choose to accept and follow. And if you choose to accept and follow it, it will be risky. It will be risky on reputation. If you are more public about your faith in Christ, people view you in a different way, don't they? And that's why there's a temptation so often for us to just keep it to ourselves and keep quiet. But actually, this is a story to be lived because it's a story that goes on for eternity. It's God's story. There's one of my favorite writers is John Polkinghorne, who's a mathematical physicist. He died 2 years ago. His brain was the size of a planet, I've got to say. But here's this mathematical physicist trying to work out what's going on in these stories. And he also recognizes that there are these two stories. And I'm just going to say this, stay with me. He says, all the time there are two quite different stories about what is happening. One is the public story recorded in the newspapers and evaluated by public opinion. The other is the secret spiritual story, largely veiled from public view, a hidden leaven at work within society. One is the history of people like Augustus, whose empire was a great achievement, though one that lasted only a few hundred years. The other is the history of people like Mary, the history of the kingdom of God, that will continue forever. You and I are in that story right now. Let it be the story that dominates your life, not just on Christmas, because it's not just a magical moment that we like. We set some nice flashing lights up and enjoy the Christmas season and watch Christmas movies and open Christmas presents. It is the moment when history changes and nothing will be the same again because God has walked into the room. Trust that story and it will go on for eternity. and let God take his place in your heart by you saying yes. Let me pray, and then we'll continue with our celebrations. Lord God, you're amazing. That this whole universe comes into being through you. All those billions of years you have been building towards this moment. And in that first Christmas, you break in and walk into the room in vulnerability and show us through Jesus what you're like. Lord, today we trust that story. We say yes to you. And as we receive this bread and wine in a moment, may we receive you afresh into our lives in a yes that is transformative and life-changing forever. Amen.